a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Well, good morning. District 21 Senator Billy Sutton, welcome to everybody to your state capitol. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to visit. We're in a new session here and looking forward to a good session. There's a lot of big topics that are going to come up this session. And I think the two main things that are on our radar this session are education funding and Medicaid expansion. But I think today we want to talk to you about education funding and where we're at, and more specifically, teacher pay. The governor is proposing a 2% increase for K-12 education. The one thing that we noted as we listened to the State of the State was that there wasn't much discussion about K-12 education. And we want to bring that to the forefront as a big priority for us. So with that, I will turn it over to Representative Spence Hawley, who is the minority leader in the House.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. Yeah, good morning. Spence Hawley. I'm District 7 out of Brookings, new into leadership. And just for a little heads up, Julie Bartling is our assistant minority leader, who was in last year's assistant minority leader. And we have Paula Hawks and Dean Shrimp as our whips. As we listened to the State of the State address, there was a lot of good items in the State of the State. The roads and bridges discussion that we're going to have, a lot of it that we can support. The juvenile justice reform, the discussion on that, the follow-on from the criminal justice initiative of 2 years ago, a lot of that cross support in there, the discussion on CTEs and that, but probably the most frustrating part was there wasn't a mention of education. The only reference to education was on dual credits, which is a great program, but there's so much more in education that we need to open up the discussion on. Probably the number one item that we've addressed and mentioned is the teacher pay being the lowest in the nation. As we look around, you can go across to North Dakota if you're a teacher here and make $8,500 more. If you would go down to Nebraska, you'll make $9,900 more than if you stay in South Dakota. Iowa, $11,000. Minnesota, $17,000. Wyoming, 17,000. These are average numbers now. But the problem we've got is, as we start talking to our teacher shortage issue, is first off, they're just not being paid adequately on the average. As a state, we spend about 3.5% of our personal income on K-12 education. As a nation, the average is 4.5, so we're even below the average expense, or the average. North Dakota is again at 4%. You go to Montana, they're 4.4, 4.6, Nebraska, 4.6 in Iowa. And, you know, we're almost a full percent below. So when people say that so much of our tax dollars are going for education, there is a large amount, but it's not an excessive amount as we compare it to the averages around the nation. You know, since 1998, we actually spend 25% less of our personal income on education than they did in 1998. So even though the dollar amounts have gone up, what our percentage of what we are personally spending on it has gone down relative. So there's an issue there. Billy, if you want to...
Yeah, you know, a lot of the conversations we've heard is that you need to prove to us that there is an issue and that there is a shortage of teachers. I would refer to a survey completed by the school groups that stated that 136 out of 151 South Dakota schools completed this survey. There were 238 open positions as of September 1st. Okay? 31 schools reported unfilled teaching jobs on the first day of school in the 2014-2015 school year. 52 reported filling positions with not fully certified teachers. I think that should be of big concern to us. 81 of those schools reported losing staff after June 1st, even if they were breaking contract. So I think that is pretty telling of the crisis situation that we're in when it comes to the teachers in South Dakota. Another statistic that I think is very valid is that There are over 1,000 teachers eligible to retire right now. There are only 726 in-state students who will enter the teaching profession for 2015. But how many of those will stay in South Dakota? There's no guarantee that even half will stay in South Dakota, especially as you see, as what Spence talked about, if they can cross a state line and make anywhere from 8,500 to almost 18,000 in average teacher pay by crossing a state line. To me, it's not relevant that we are last in the nation in teacher pay. To me, it's relevant that we're last in our surrounding states in teacher pay, and by a significant margin. And this problem isn't going to stop unless we do something. There's only 577 students that are projected to graduate in 2016. So that number decreases from 726 to 577 one year later. That's a big issue that we need to focus on. You know, the average pay of the teachers in South Dakota is 76% of the national average. It's a big thing that we have got to address, and until we do that, until we focus on and make teacher pay a priority here in the legislature, it's not going to solve itself. You know, the conversation comes up a lot that we just don't have the money. And, you know, I served on appropriations the last 4 years, and I can attest that we do have a shortage of dollars available. But when we make it a priority in the South Dakota legislature to fund something, we figure out how to get the money. Take roads and bridges as an example. We're going to raise $50 million for roads and bridges. That's the proposal. I don't see why we can't make teacher pay and education a priority to do the same thing.
And I probably would just tag on with Senator Sutton on that. You know, we do have an effort in teachers. Right now we've got a program that if they have teachers go to college and they stay in South Dakota and teach in the science and math for up to 5 years, they can get a reimbursement of their tuition fees. And it's a good program. I don't think it goes far enough is the problem with it. We need to get more more in the pipeline first to even be able to talk to as teachers. And then second, we need to be able to pay them to come to South Dakota and pay them to stay in South Dakota. And the picture isn't going to be solved this year. That's just unrealistic. And it probably won't be solved in 2 years. And at this moment in time, the biggest thing is just come to the realization that there is a problem. I read in the paper the first week that a governor had made a speech in Sioux Falls, and he questioned if we have a real problem in a teacher shortage. And in my mind, I see a huge problem, but obviously that hasn't spread across the state, and people don't feel there is a problem. So we need to hit that head on, talk about what we do have, what we don't have from teachers, and then once there comes a realization, yes, there's a problem, let's put as much effort in as we're putting our roads and bridges. In the state of the state, the governor said our most important asset are the roads and bridges in South Dakota. And I would think that ultimately the most important asset is our children and your education. The entire future of South Dakota, we need roads for ag, for transportation, and I support that 100%. But the true future of South Dakota is in our kids. And whether it be K-12, whether it be in a VOTEC, or whether it be in the higher ed, what comes out of there is going to determine what happens in South Dakota 50 years from now. And we need to come to the direct realization there's a problem. Let's take care of it.
And if I would just jump in a little further, too, you're going to hear the conversation that the South Dakota legislature doesn't set teacher pay. And that's correct to an extent. We don't determine what they have to pay their teachers. But 82% of a school's general fund goes to teacher pay. And the majority of the dollars that our schools are receiving are coming from the per student allocation, which is a large partly state dollars. So in essence, we are setting teacher pay, because that 82% does not give you much wiggle room when you're talking about all the things that schools have to pay for. So I want to put that argument to rest a little bit. I also want to discuss a little bit the argument of reserves, because that's something that comes up constantly when we're talking about teacher pay and how much schools have to operate on. You know, there's a lot of reasons that schools have reserves. Every school has a different story. And I think it's important to listen to each and every one of those stories. There's several of the reasons that schools might have a certain reserve. Might have to do with one-time money that the state has given. They might have to do with changes in student enrollment. Might have to do with revenue fluctuations. We up here in Pierre know very well the challenges in projecting our revenues, because we've missed those revenues on several different occasions. The bank franchise tax is a big one, because schools receive a lot of that as other revenue, and that has been fluctuating drastically. The number of opt-outs. You know, I think we can get into opt-outs, but there's been a big reliance on opt-outs in the state of South Dakota, and that's increased. I'll give you some numbers on how that has changed. In 2004, we had 174 school districts. Of that number, 52 school districts were in opt-outs. Okay? So that's 44. Well, let's see. So this year, or actually last year, we had 151 school districts. So the number of our school districts has actually declined over that 10-year period. But yet, we have more schools in opt-outs now than we did 10 years ago, at 66. That is an increase of $11 million paid by property taxpayers over that time frame. So it's absolutely a shift to the local level. And until we decide to fund education adequately from the state portion, that shift is going to continue to occur. And we can't keep expecting local property taxpayers to pick up the bill. And that's what we've been doing.
Yeah. Just one follow-on comment before we go to questions here. You know, the state share, the decrease in 97 from 30%, 36% state was paying on K-12, 91% or 31% now. So they've since 97 gone down 5%, and we could take this discussion to the next level at higher ed. When I went to college, the state paid 60% of my tuition, and I paid 40% of it. Our students going to higher ed now, the state pays less than 40% of the tuition, and a student pays over 60%. So in our entire education system, K-12 through higher ed, we've had a shift over the last few years to back to the student and local. Away from the state. And so we just need to talk about that and discuss where we're going in the future. Obviously, we're kind of passionate about it, and we could go on forever talking about it, but we're probably best to answer questions right now and open up if there is any questions out there.
What do you say to,
what do you say that the shortage is... Tom Fear, KVHD, Yankton, Vermilion. Have any of you received any indication?
Sorry,
from
there's another.
Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Oh.
Okay. No, sorry, you can go. You can proceed with your question.
Yes, Tom Fear, KVHD, Vermilion, Yankton. Have any of you received any indication from those in the majority that an education bill is somewhere down the line? Much like this year, it seemed like everyone knew well in advance that roads would be a priority in this session. Has anyone received any indication that education is coming down the line?
This is Representative Hawley. I was on the executive board, and we assigned this the study task forces, and the long range planning committee took this last year as education is their primary interest that they've been studying, and that's a 2-year study period. And so what I am picking up from across the aisle is that they don't want to have any discussion on it till that long range planning committee gets done with their study. So this year, I would say that there is nothing coming forward that I've seen directly. The capital outlay bill is being presented by the governor to limit that. And that's the top of my head of what I can think of. Senator Sutton?
Yeah, I would just say that I was hoping that it would be more of a priority this session. You know, as we saw at the end of last session, we dedicated a portion of dollars, carved it out of the per student allocation essentially to be dedicated solely to teacher pay. So that got brought to the forefront right at the end of session. And so I was fairly hopeful that we'd see some action in this session, but it seems that roads and bridges has kind of taken the number one priority for this session, but I still am hopeful that we can have those discussions and work towards a long-term plan to solve this crisis. I think it is on the leadership's radar on the other side of the aisle, but it's just a matter of making it a priority for all of us and getting the job done.
Jackie Seven with Public Radio. Are you guys going to be bringing any legislation in regards to education?
We are not bringing any from a funding requirement right now. There are a couple items we're looking at. The reserve discussion on that and just trying to sort out the true reserves of schools right now. There are some schools are building up a large balance, but it's by far not the majority of schools. It's a small minority. So we just need to get that discussion separated out so everybody understands it.
Yeah, and I think our hope is that we can work with the majority party to come up with some legislation we can agree on as far as funding of that. Now, it needs to be stated that funding is not the only reason that teachers aren't entering that at the higher education level. We need to get more kids in the pipeline, and a bill that I'm bringing will be a tuition reimbursement program for teachers in rural South Dakota, similar to what we do for doctors and dentists and now lawyers as well. We need to elevate the teaching profession and treat them as some of these other high-level positions that we count on so dearly. And so I'll be bringing that legislation, and hopefully I can get some bipartisan support on it, and we can move that forward.
Sabaria Ruffin here at KSFY. I was wondering, what are your specific proposals to approve the issue on teacher pay and teacher shortage?
Could you repeat your question and a little bit louder, please?
Hi there. KSFY in Sioux Falls. I was wondering, what are your specific proposals to improve the issue on teachers' pay and the teacher shortage?
Well, I might jump in there. This is Billy Sutton. There's a plan out there brought forth by the superintendents and the Association of School Boards that would create a teacher enhancement fund. I don't know where that is at in the process right now or if they are bringing that forward, but that would increase the sales tax in the summer months by a half a penny, I believe. That would projected to raise around $40 million that would be dedicated to dedicated directly to teachers. And I think that's something we're looking very closely at. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, nobody likes to talk about new taxes, or increasing taxes for that matter. But we talk a lot up here about how there's not enough money. And at some point, we may have to increase the size of the amount in the pie in order to fund the directives that we want to focus on. So that's one proposal we're looking at. Other than that, I think there'll be a lot of ideas that come up over the next few weeks, especially as we get closer to the bill drop deadline here.
When you talk about the teacher shortage, do you see it as all schools having a teacher shortage, or I've heard that it's just a small school issue?
I come from Brookings, And for a, you would not think we have an issue in Brookings. Good school system. We have the university. A lot of people move into town. The spouses are teachers. And we have a waiting list. But in visiting my superintendent, we had issues there in the math, trying to find a math teacher in Brookings, which totally surprised me. So I thought it was strictly a rural South Dakota issue, and it isn't. There's probably more in those specialty areas in the larger communities is what I would, I'm not the expert in this area, but that's what I would surmise. But and you get out of Brookings, you know, you get over to Esteli and you get to Arlington, and it's a totally different story over there. They literally just can't find a teacher, period, for a class, rather than looking for a specialized one. So it is emphasized much more in the rural area.
I believe it is statewide. I believe that the report I heard is that Rapid City was struggling, filling open teaching positions very close to when school started. And so Rapid City is a pretty big town, and you know, our second largest. And so if they're having trouble, I think that the numbers also show that every school in South Dakota is going to have struggles at some point, some more than others, and that's fair. But in the next few years, I think a vast majority of them are going to be struggling.
Are there any other questions?
Okay. Well, I think then, as long as there's no questions, then we'll probably just go close out here. Again, this is just one topic discussion. I think we found it easier rather than come in here and try and talk about five, six topics. If we try to focus each week on one topic, we'll have it better. I guess the reason for this initial discussion, this is really, in our caucus, a labor of love. We kind of get deemed on the Democrat Party side, well, here they come again. They're going to talk education this year. And the truth is, yes, we are, because there's a problem. And I don't know if we aren't able to come up and do the solution by ourselves with what we got up in the minority. Until the entire state and the majority side decide that we got a problem and recognize it, that's when we can start to get things happening. So all we can do is keep telling the information and bringing the facts forward and explaining what's really happening out there, and that we can't ignore it much longer.
Yeah, and I would echo those comments. I appreciate all the questions, very good questions, and I appreciate the good discussion, and look forward to next week.